Would you rather? It's a fun kids game, isn't it? But it's also a very real fact for us as adults, isn't it? Let's do a fun one. Would you rather vacation at the beach or vacation in the mountains? Beach people? Mountain people? A mountain at the beach? Would you rather get a new car or remodel the house? A new car, somebody over here. I'll take a new car. Some of them aren't always as fun, you know? Would I rather pay the bills or go on vacation? Can I go on vacation, please? Would I rather invest in God's kingdom or invest in myself? Nah, hopefully. Would you rather have joy or sorrow? Would you rather walk in victory or defeat? Believe it or not, those are choices that we have the opportunity to make. Would you rather? But it all comes back to the choices that you and I make. Michael said, I'm so glad you made the choice to be here this morning. You got out of bed. There's other things that we could have done. When we came into the house to be with the family to worship our Savior.
Right, man. Hallelujah.
The offering bags went around. We had a choice to make. I can choose to invest in God's kingdom, give back to Him the resources that belong to Him in the first place, or I can choose to hoard it to myself and keep it to myself. And we're going to look this morning at what Jesus tells us about some of the choices we have. And we get to follow His example. We have the choice to follow His example with some of the choices that He made. So we're going to be looking at John chapter 12, verses 27 to 36 this morning. And I'd encourage you to stand up in honor of God's word as we read His word this morning together. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 27. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, "I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again." When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to them. Then Jesus told them, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging the world has come, when Satan, the ruler of the world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The crowd responded, We understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say that the Son of Man will die? Just who is this Son of Man anyway?" Jesus replied, "My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light." And after saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to your word this morning, may it be your voice that is proclaimed. May your spirit have free reign in this place this morning to encourage, to convict, and to direct us. God, glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. It's your choice. So much of life, it's your choice. The first point this morning, it's your choice. Look up or look around. Easy to look around, isn't it? Be overcome with our circumstances. Look at what's happening around us each and every day, whether it's global or it's personal. We want to look around us and we get distracted from him, rather than looking up. Jesus said at the beginning of our passage, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour?" That's the circumstances around him, isn't it? He knew what was coming. His soul was deeply troubled. I don't know if you've ever realized that. As Jesus looked ahead to the cross, to the betrayal. Think about that for a minute. One of the 12, he picked one of the 12, knowing from the time he picked him that this guy was going to betray him.
Right.
And yet he still invested 3 years of his life into this guy, knowing that he was going to betray him. Still loved him unconditionally. Still taught him. Still mentored him. Still brought him along, knowing he was going to betray him. Knowing that his disciples would deny him. Knowing he was going to be beaten and scourged and hung on a cross, the most cruel form of death ever devised by man. He knows that's all coming. And the fact that the sin of the world was going to be placed upon him. Man, he could have been wrapped up in those circumstances and just looking here. Should I pray, save me from this hour? The other three gospel writers, Matthew, Luke, and Mark, they share Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But this is actually before the upper room in John, where he's troubled because he knows it's coming. Save me from this hour. But, he says, this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. He took his eyes off of his circumstances. He placed them on his Father and said, God, I want you to be glorified. So even though, humanly speaking, I don't want what is coming, it's not about what I want. It's about what brings glory to your name. Jesus took his eyes off of looking around and he began to look up, and that changed his perspective. We're faced with the same choice, aren't we? Easy to get wrapped up around our circumstances, our finances, our kids, our difficulties in life. And man, sometimes I got to be honest, I hate getting up here to preach. Because whatever God wants me to teach, he teaches me first. And I'll tell you what, this weekend has been frustrating. I've been trying to do this and trying to do that, and I'm thinking, God's, you know, we got some answers, and boom, it didn't take care of it, and I'm, you know, money out, and it didn't solve the problem, and this is not working, and that's not working, and it's easy. And God just brings back to mind, what are you preaching on Sunday, son? Where's your perspective, Brian? And I got to lift up my eyes. I remember when I first came to South Hills Church, been 4 years now, been here at South Hills. Longest God has let us be anywhere. When we first came to South Hills, I met one of our elders, John Bach. And right after I arrived, or in the process, somewhere in the timing of when I arrived or shortly thereafter, John was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I was blown away by John and Joy. Man, they could have gotten wrapped up in what's it going to take to get healed, and man, poor me, and I wish, why did God allow this to happen? We've loved him, we've served him, we're elders, we're generous, and they could have gotten wrapped up in their circumstances of terminal cancer, but their prayer was always, God, use us for your glory. If this is what it takes to bring you glory, we'll walk through it, Lord. If this is what it takes to bring people into your kingdom, we'll walk through it, Lord. And their perspective, while I know physically there was pain, where emotionally it was difficult, they took their eyes off of their circumstances and put it on the glory of their Father. And through their testimony, people, even on John's deathbed, came to faith in Jesus Christ. If I remember correctly, Joy, even at his funeral, people came to faith in Christ. Because they saw the testimony of someone who had a hope in the future, had a joy in their life that went beyond their circumstances. Had the privilege to get to know a family over the last year, the Ellison family. Eric and Gina, daughters Emily and Holly. A year ago, their 18-year-old son, Cooper, died tragically in an ATV accident on a hunting trip. And shock. When, you know, John's death, as tragic as it is, the older we get, the more we are understanding and accepting of it. A teenager. You know, such a great future ahead of him. And yet, through his death, his family came back to faith in Jesus Christ. Not only his family, over the course of this last year, more people have come to faith in Christ as a result of Cooper's tragic death. And as easy as it would be for the Ellison family to get wrapped up in their grief, yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of Cooper's death. You know what they were doing? They're in Kitale, Kenya.
That's right.
Pouring their lives out into kids who've lost so much themselves. Because it's not about them. It's not about their grief. It's not about their pain. It's about the glory of Jesus Christ. It's about the glory of their Father taking their eyes off of our circumstances and putting them on Him. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." My pain for today, compared with the scope of eternity, oh, it's minuscule. And for eternity, I get to worship Jesus. For eternity, I get to be made more into His likeness. For eternity, I get to bring glory and honor to Him. I've got to take my eyes off of what's around and put my eyes up onto our Savior and our God. I almost called this point, "It's your choice, joy or sorrow." But as I was praying through it and studying a little bit, I came to realize that, as you know from watching the movie Inside Out, joy is an emotion, right? Nobody gets that reference. You guys haven't watched Inside Out? All right. Actually, I heard a great... Somebody, I can't remember who it was now. They were talking about... Oh, it was the Lubin family. They were talking to their son about the fact that there's going to be no sadness in heaven. And his son went, "Sadness? Doesn't get to go to heaven?" He had Inside Out in his head. He's like, "Poor sadness. She doesn't get to go to heaven. Only joy gets to go there. What a shame." But joy is an emotion. And I don't get to choose emotions. Emotions are kind of what bubbles up within me. I get to choose consciously what I focus in on, and then the emotion will follow. If I look around me and I focus on my circumstances and my heartache and all the troubles, then I become embittered and angry. That's the emotions that begin to well up inside of me and begin to take over. But if I put my focus on God and His character, His promises and His glory, then joy is what wells up inside of me. Galatians 5:22 tells us that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So I have to put my focus on the Spirit, on God. And then as a fruit of that, He brings joy up into my life. The psalmist declared, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." Yes, there's pain. Yes, there's sorrow. Yes, there's difficulty. But if, like the psalmist, I put my focus on God's character and God's glory and on His promises, then He's going to bring about the fruit of His Spirit, which is joy in my life. I can't choose joy, but I can choose to look up at Him and His character and His glory, and He will bring joy into my life in the midst of difficult circumstances. Amen? Let's put it another way. Is Michael in here? I hope not. It's okay, Michael. You can trust me. I've done this before. If it goes wrong, we'll sing a cappella at the close, right? I can balance this guitar in the palm of my hand. You think I can do it? I can do it as long as I keep my focus up. If I put my focus at the top, I lift my eyes up, the guitar is in balance. The minute I put my focus down, it goes out of balance. That's so true of our lives, isn't it? If I put my focus up on Jesus, he helps me keep my life in balance. When I put my focus on my circumstances and what's going around me, life gets out of balance and I can't hold it up. We have to lift our eyes up, people. Get them off of our circumstances. Get them off of ourselves. Get them off of our worries and our troubles and put them on Jesus and his glory. And he will help us keep our life in balance. But that might seem like a big choice to lift my eyes up rather than down. You see, the big choices in our life actually start with all the multiple little choices that we make. I don't believe someone wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I think I'm going to have an extramarital affair today. But the little choices that they make, the poor little choices that they make begin to build and build and build, and then the big wrong choice happens. So there's little choices we need to make today that help us get to the big choice. It's your choice, commendation or comfort. This isn't the second line on your bulletin there. This is a subpoint to the first one. Commendation or comfort? Jesus chose commendation, bringing glory to the Father and allowing the Father to bring glory to him rather than his own comfort. Because his own comfort would say, I don't want to be betrayed. I don't want to be whipped. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be hung on a cross. But it's not my will. It's his. I want to bring glory to the Father. John 12:28, then a voice spoke from heaven. That's the Father speaking, saying, I have already brought glory to my name. This is the third time the Father audibly spoke, saying, this is my son. I am pleased in him. He's bringing glory to me. He did it first at his baptism in the Jordan. He did it second at the transfiguration, and here is a third time. And he says, I will do it again. I'm going to continue to bring glory to my name through my son as he dies on the cross, as he comes back to life and victory, as he ascends into heaven and sits at the right hand of the God the Father. He's going to be commended. It's your choice, humility or pride. Pride says I focus on me. It's all about me and the glory I can get and the things that I can get and the things I can attain and the selfishness. I want this and I want this. I want this. Humility says it's not about me. It's about him. It's about others. As I daily choose humility over pride, it's going to help me to look up instead of look around. As I daily choose his commendation, not my own comfort, is going to help me put my eyes on him and not on my circumstances. It's your choice. Are you going to look up or are you going to look around? It's your choice. Life or death? Jesus said in verse 31, the time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. Now, wait a minute. You said it's your choice, life or death, which is your second big bullet point on the outline. Jesus just indicated how he's going to die. Isn't that choosing death? Do you remember what Pastor Phil said? Unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, then it can't bring forth life. Death brings life. Seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Federal intelligence seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Unless it dies, it can't bring life. But that's the beauty of the gospel. His death brings your life. That's the foundation of the gospel. Anything you try and do on your own, any good work you try and do, any striving that you do, anything that you do on your own leads to death. Your death. But his death on the cross leads to your life. The minute you stop striving and start trusting, Jesus gives you life. Until you do that, you're living in death. Every one of us is born with sin. A desire to seek our own way. Filled with pride. Filled with comfort. Filled with focusing on us. And filled with death. But God loves you so much. in that while we were yet sinners, while we knew nothing about him, while we were antagonistic towards him, he died and rose again. There's the life. He died and he rose again so that he could give life to all of us. I love the choice of words John uses in this verse. In the original language, the verb lifted up is used exclusively in John to refer to Jesus' death. It was a portrayal of him dying on the cross, lifted up on a cross. Elsewhere in the New Testament, that same Greek word is used to mean exalt. Catch that double meaning. In his being lifted up to die, he was exalted, given his rightful place, kingship, authority, dominion. It's all his. But if we're going to choose life, it comes down to those smaller choices. Am I going to choose forgiveness or judgment? We judge ourselves a lot, don't we? We judge other people. I'm not good enough. I can't measure up. I'm too fat. I'm not smart enough. I'm not fast enough. I don't make enough. But we got to let go of the judgment. Because none of us measure up. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us measure up. So we can give up the judgment. We can give up the shame. I'm telling you this morning, at this altar, you can lay the shame aside and you can walk out of here a new, fresh person with a new lease on life and a new hope and a new life. Yes. Because of his forgiveness. Our security comes from his death on the cross, not what we have done, not what we can earn. We have another small choice. We can share or we can hoard. It's easy, man. Boy, this new life is great. I love Jesus. He does so much for me. I'm going to hold on to him so tight. I just want Jesus in my life. But Jesus gives you life that you might give life to others. The word hoard, blew me away. The word hoard means to amass and hide or to store away. Jesus is not a treasure to be hidden or stored away, but to be shared. Jesus says, it said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That's what he desires. He wants people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to come into his kingdom. He was lifted up not just for you. Yes, he was lifted up for you, but not just for you. He was lifted up that all men might know him, that he would draw all people to himself. 2 Peter says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. I shared a little bit earlier about the Ellison family, the mighty work that God has done in and through their lives over the course of this last year. But what God has done in their lives started with somebody else. Woman named Amy. Amy's a part of South Hills Church. She's on staff at Kamiakin High School. Yes. Was because Amy reached out to Cooper and his girlfriend Unique. Right. Drew them in, shared God's love with them, shared the gospel with them. They were coming to South Hills regularly before Cooper passed. They were growing in their faith. They were on fire in their faith. They were going back to Kamiakin and sharing with other people the good work that God had done because Amy chose to share rather than to hoard. And because Amy shared, Cooper and Unique came to faith. Because Amy shared, the Ellisons came back to faith. Because Amy shared, there's been a ripple effect that's now happening in Kenya. Because Amy shared rather than hoarded. Are you going to share or are you going to hoard? We tend to hoard because we focus on our circumstances rather than on his glory. When we lift up our eyes to him and we choose his glory and we choose life, then that compels us to share and to give. We have the privilege this morning of having Andrew Porter. Andrew's the executive director of Tri-City Union Gospel Mission with us. Andrew, would you come up this morning? I want to introduce you to him. And yes, give him a hand. Tri-City Union Gospel Mission is one of our global partners as a church and one of our top three partners that we seek to invest in with our time, our resources, our energies. And it's great to have you with us this morning, Andrew. I got a couple questions for you. You're hearing about the choices that we have to make. And I understand that at one point in your life, you too were homeless.
Yes, I was.
And I want to know what choices, what brought you to the point where you chose life and healing over homelessness and really destruction in your life?
Well, Brian, that was about 28 years ago. It was a very dark and lonely time in my life. I'd been homeless for many years, addicted to drugs and in bondage to sin. And I was sitting in a federal prison because of all that, and that's where my life had gone. And God brought some people into my life, a husband and wife, Don and Carol. I didn't think anybody wanted me. I didn't think I deserved anything. They were strangers to me, but they came to the prison. They wrote me. I was able to call them, and they had a heavy influence in my life. And they showed me love. God used them in a way that he hadn't used other people. I was aware of God, but I had chose previously to live in sin. And he used these people to show me that I was worth something. God had died for me and given his life for me. And so I was about 6 months from getting out of prison. But it scared me because drugs and that way of life was all I knew. And I knew I was going to go back to that. And I didn't want it anymore. It was the first time in my life that I was clean. And there was a day that came, I was reading my Bible, and God lifted the veil, and I knew I needed him. And I reached out to him, and I said, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm choosing you today. I know you can change my life, and I believe that. And that was the day I became a new creation. Because of that choice, God has given me a whole new life and a life that I can share him in the work that I do and in my life. It
awesome.
Was a wonderful day.
So choosing Jesus, choosing life, changes lives. That's awesome. Now, I know that some people, and it's easy, we're suburban church and, sitting here, and we can look at homelessness, and we look at the mission, and we go, man, those people, they choose that, they want to do that, they don't really want to change. But Union Gospel Mission isn't just about giving handouts, right?
No.
And you have a lot of people who come through your doors who encounter people like you, encounter others, and they want to make the choice to change their life. How does UGM help people who want to change their lives take that next step and move forward and see their lives changed and transformed?
Well, I've actually never met anybody that set out to be homeless or be a drug addict or whatever, they became sometimes. But when they come to the mission, first and foremost, everything we do is centered around the gospel of Christ, because a man or a woman's eternal destiny is the most important thing. I mean, we can help them, and we do help them to set goals and get jobs and get housing, helping with education, those type of things. All those are very important. But what is it really worth if they're just going to die and go to hell? I mean, so we do all those things, but at the very center of all that, the gospel is most important. So that's what we really work on, is trying to share that love the same way that Don and Carol shared it with me, because I look in these men and women's eyes and I know what God's done in my life. And many of our staff are just like me, that God gloriously saved them, and we're able to share that love with them.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you being here, Andrew. And if you want to meet Andrew, you want to learn more about UGM, they have a table out in the lobby. And another cool thing that's coming up, if you want to have your perspective changed on the mission, people who live at the mission, this Wednesday, there's a thing in your bulletin, this Wednesday there is a red carpet movie premiere of the movie Same Kind of Different as Me. Some of you may have read the book. The movie actually stars Greg Kinnear and Renee Zellweger. It tells about a family that their life was transformed as they began to engage with a homeless a homeless fellow at the mission. So this Wednesday, there's two showings for $12. You can buy the tickets from the guys out at the table and have your perspective. If you can't make it Wednesday night, it's also going to show for a couple more weeks over at Fairchild and Pasco. But this Wednesday, after the movie, UGM is going to share a little bit of update about what's going on with UGM and how you could be more involved. So I really encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity. Thanks, Andrew, for being here. Let me tell you a little bit about how the mission transforms people's lives. I got a friend here at church who, about a year ago, I think if I remember the timeline correctly, was ready to take his own life. God kind of directed him down into Pasco, led him to the mission. He didn't have anything. He started living at the mission, was homeless. God touched his life, transformed his life. He started coming to South Hills Church. He's now on the vans that go. We send two vans over to UGM every Sunday morning to pick people up and bring them over. This gentleman was on one of those vans coming. And now he's involved in the church. He's connected in a life group. And he drives the vans to go pick other people up, which is awesome. God's been changing people's lives. And I don't know if you know this, we got a team headed to the Philippines on November 1st. One of the team members on the Philippines team actually lives at the mission. And God is grabbing a hold of his life. Now he's going to take and use him on a mission in the Philippines to share his story for Jesus' glory. So it's your choice. Look up or look around. It's your choice. Choose life or choose death. It's also your choice. Light or darkness. The last few verses there in our passage this morning, Jesus replied, "My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light." The world in which we live is filled with darkness, isn't it? Mass shooting in Las Vegas. Fires running rampant in Northern California, people losing their lives. Overnight, there was a truck bomb detonated in Somalia by terrorists that killed over 200 people. Earthquakes, hurricanes, loss of life, terrorism. It's almost too much. It's so much now that you can't even have a civil discourse on something you disagree with somebody on without it becoming antagonistic and hateful and hurtful. The world in which we live is filled with darkness, and if we're not careful, it's going to overtake us. And I don't know if you've ever tried to walk into a room that's completely dark. I mean, I went to wake up my wife this morning. We got up early. It was still dark outside, and I know my bedroom. And I'm walking in going, "Where's that bed? I don't want to ding my shin. I can't see where I'm going." So we got to walk in the light. And if I want to walk in the light, it comes back to the small choices that I make. The little choices every day. Am I going to choose truth or lies? Satan is a deceiver. Always has been, always will be. Started in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? He took the truth of God's word and twisted it and drew Adam and Eve away. He wants to do that with your life. How do you combat the lies of Satan? You fill your mind with truth. When Jesus was out in the wilderness for 40 days and Satan came and tempted him, what was his response every single time? Truth. He quoted scripture. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be pressed into the mold of this world. Do not be overcome by the darkness of this world, but be transformed." How are you transformed? The renewing of your mind. If you wonder why your life is not more transformed, begin by looking at what you put into your mind on a regular basis. If you fill your mind with darkness, if you fill your mind with the philosophies of this world, if you fill your mind with everything the world has to offer, you're not going to be transformed. But if you fill your mind with the truth of Scripture, if you fill your mind with His praise, with His glory, with His honor, then your life will begin to be transformed. I hesitate to acknowledge this, but I like country music. I know. Half of you are going to get up and walk out right now, aren't you? I enjoy country music, but if all I ever do is listen to country music, is my life going to be transformed? Yeah, I know. So while I enjoy country music, I spend the majority of my time listening to worship music. I listen to Caleb because I need to fill my mind with the truth of Scripture, with the truth of God's Word. When I'm driving, I take my wife to work in the morning. We interact, we talk, we pray. I drop her off. The first thing I do when I'm driving here to church from dropping her off is I open my Bible app and I hit speaker and I listen to God's Word while I'm driving to work because I know that I need to fill my mind with Scripture so that when I get here, my focus is where it needs to be. My mind has been filled with truth. You need to fill your mind with truth. Get in God's Word. Spend time soaking it up. When the tough times come in your life, I share this with my short-term mission teams. Each day, we're going to be wrung out, right? God wants to wring us out. Yeah, kind of scary sometimes. Have you ever tried to wring out a dry sponge? It doesn't work, does it? But I use my sponge to soak up the water on the counter, and then I wring it out in the sink. What comes out? What comes out? Okay. When my daughter was living at home, she was a messy. She would spill coffee all over the counter. So I'd take the sponge and I'd wipe up the coffee, and then I'd wring it out in the sink, and what came out? Coffee. What comes out of a sponge is whatever the sponge soaks up. And as God takes my life and wrings it out in the lives of other people each and every day, if I'm soaking him up, what's going to come out? Him. If I'm not soaking him up, but I'm soaking up the things of the world, what's going to come out? Not going to be pretty, is it? So I got to soak up Jesus so that when he rings me out, it's him that comes out. I have to choose truth over lies each and every day. But it's not enough just to soak up the truth of the gospel. I had an uncle, actually my wife's uncle. Man, if I got in a theological debate with this guy, I was going to lose every time. He knew this Bible in and out. He knew theology. He knew Scripture. But his kids do not follow Jesus today. You know why? Because while he knew a lot, he didn't live a lot. I read a verse to the kids today, didn't I? Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. The choice is obedience or disobedience. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, if you're focused on the light, if you're focused, your vision's raised up and you're choosing life and light, you're going to obey. Truth or lies, which leads to obedience or disobedience, and community or isolation. It's your choice. God set the example of community in Scripture. Just in the very Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is a triune God. God lives in community. Jesus modeled community. He had the 72, but he called the 12 and he invested in the 3. He modeled community. The early church practiced community. Acts 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone, get this, can be attacked and defeated. And that's what Satan wants to do in your life. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Get this, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You might be saying, you know, I know God's word and I'm trying to obey God's word, but I'm still feeling overcome by the darkness. And I'm going to say, are you living in isolation or are you living in community? Don't just show up here on a Sunday morning and sit soaking sour. Get involved in relationship. Get involved in a life group. Get involved in a community that can build you up, that can help you be strong, that can help you to grow. Let's draw back around to where we started. Would you rather? Would you rather have joy or sorrow? Would you rather have walk in victory or defeat? It all comes down to the choices that you and I make. On the bottom of your bulletin, if you have it on the outline there, there's some application. Which of these choices that we talked about today do you wrestle with most? And what small choice do you need to make today for sight, for life, or for light?
That wraps up another South Hills Church podcast. For the accompanying text and to see what's happening this week, please visit southhillschurch.cc. Thank you for listening.